A Grateful Mother is the sermon title, and in preparation for that, I'm going to read Psalm 33, 1 through 5. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you gracious ones. Listen to this next sentence. Praise is becoming to the upright. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word, the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his loving kindness of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day that we just have to come and honor our moms. So, Lord, I pray that even the moms and even men and children as well will feel your presence here today as we speak on being a mom that follows your heart. We thank you for this day, and we pray that your work will be done in our lives. Amen. We are here today to honor our moms. My mom is now no longer with me, and I miss her. I want to encourage all of you who have moms that aren't here in this area to give them a call, give them a hug, and tell them one thing. Tell them I love you. Would you do that? You may not get a chance someday in the near future. If you are a father today, I would encourage you to put what's important to you, your job, your interests, and pay attention to your wife today, the mother of your children. We're going to look at the life of Samuel, actually the life of Hannah today in 1 Samuel, if you have your Bibles. 1 Samuel, chapters 1 and 2. The sermon notes are in the back of your bulletin, and so what we're going to do is we're going to just kind of work our way through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, first two chapters, but I just kind of interject little bits and pieces. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the text that we're looking at today, and Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand how Hannah was a good mom, but understand more importantly the principles of your word as they imply to all of us, not just moms, but as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of what I have for you today is in the first chapter, and just a little bit in the second chapter. Let's look at the first two verses. Now there was by the way, there are some words and names in here that I can't pronounce. I'm going to muddle through them. Now there was a certain man from Ramathan Zophin from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah, had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, I just want to comment here on these first two verses. I think I know why God wanted us to only have one wife. I think I know. Can you imagine having two wives and one is able to have children and the other not? What kind of a strife there would be in the family? Well, that's what's happening here, and we're going to read about it in just a moment. But God wants us to look to him in all of our strife, and that's what we're going to find out in the life of Hannah. Verses 3 through 8. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice the Lord of hosts of Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Phinehas, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. Now, it doesn't tell us how many she had, how many children she had, but there were several. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, do you hear that word? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Her rival, the other wife with the lots of children, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. When Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better than 10 sons?" Now, ladies, men just don't get it sometimes. This woman is really struggling. It seems that God has not blessed her in that society, not having a child. And now we have a second wife that's just being cruel to her. And so the husband comes and said, "You got me. What else do you need?" Man, I hope you're hearing this. Be sensitive to your wife. Be sensitive to your wife. Many times in our lives, women, I hope that you're listening, men as well, children also. Many times in our life, things happen that we don't understand or we can't explain. And I think it's interesting here that what Hannah does next, after years and years of disgrace, let's read it, verses 9, 10, and 11. "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking at Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, praying to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will have and but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord on all the days of his life, and a razor will never touch his head.'" Hannah brings her request to the Lord in her grief. And then she says, "If you give me a son, I will give him back to you." Why is it that we don't do that first? Are you hearing me? We have struggles in our life. Ladies, I hope you're listening. We have struggles in our life. And we go through the struggle, and we go through the struggle, and we go through the struggle. It was years for Hannah, and finally she went to the Lord and prayed, "Give me a son, please, I pray, and I will give him back to you." Matthew 7, 7 through 11, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when a son asks him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," listen to this, "how much more will your Father who is in heaven give to what is good to those who ask him?" We simply need to ask. We simply need to ask. Look at verses 12 through 18. "Now it came about as she was continued to praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of the great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Her face was no longer sad. She prayed, and that was good enough. She went on and finished her meal. I think this is interesting. How often, women, mothers, do you pray for something? It might be for your husbands. It might be for your children. It might be for something that deeply concerns you. But you pray, and then you worry about the thing that you prayed about. Yeah. Philippians 4. Oh, you knew I was going to go there, didn't you? Philippians 4, 6 through 8. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God." Now, I need to stop there. Paul gives us something to do. Don't be anxious. Instead, bring your request to God with thanksgiving. If you do that, there's a promise. What's the promise? You may know? Let's look at it. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is anything excellent, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on those things. Be thankful. Pray in thanksgiving. Bring your concerns to Him. Don't be anxious. And then the peace of God, which is outside of our understanding. You see, I believe that you can be dying of cancer and still have peace. Yep. That's what God's Word says. Verses 19 and 20. "Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked for him.'" That's the name of Samuel, "because I have asked for him." Goes back to what I was saying earlier. We need to simply ask. We need to simply ask. How many times do you ask for something and the Lord blesses you with that, and you don't thank Him? God wants our blessing. God wants our praise. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Short text, by the way. "Rejoice sometimes." What? Oh, always. I'm sorry. I misread that. Rejoice always. Always rejoice. "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, a lot of people ask me, "I don't know what God's will is for my life." I do. Praise Him. Praise Him. Put Him first. I'd like to also note here something that's dear to me. It has something to do with the message, but it's kind of shading on not having something to do with the message. You hear me? I think that we have to have an attitude of gratitude all the time. And that's what Philippians is talking about. Bring your petitions and prayer requests to Him with what? Thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude. Bring your requests before Him. I think that if we had an attitude of gratitude, that we would have a much easier life. Now, I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. I didn't say that you would not have any troubles. But I think that if we had an attitude of gratitude, we would have peace in our heart. And we'd be able to go through life with less emotional stress. With less and maybe no emotional stress. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at least you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Listen to what he says next. Not that I speak from want, Paul says, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. I need to stop there. You know what? There's a lot of people that say, if they had this, this, and this, then they'd be happy. You know what? Stuff doesn't bring happiness. But Paul says, I have learned how to be content even in prosperity. But he's also learned how to be content when? In poverty. With nothing. I've learned how to be content with nothing. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's the attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. Let's look at verses 21 through 28. 1 Samuel. When the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems right to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Listen to this. Only may the Lord confirm His word. How many times do you hear from the Lord and then, you know, maybe a day or maybe a month or maybe a year goes by and you're like, I wonder what He really said. Was it this or was it that? Well, I'm thinking as a husband, He's like, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing here. Make sure you're doing the right thing. And so He's telling His wife, what was it? Only may the Lord confirm His word. Which infers to me that she's continually praying to Him. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bowl and an ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Although the child was young, then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord for this boy I prayed. And the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of Him. So I have dedicated him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah gave thanks to him. Hannah gave thanks. And she also fulfilled her promise to the Lord. Now the next 10 verses in chapter 2 is a song of praise to Hannah and her husband. I just want to stress thankfulness. attitude of gratitude all over again. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him year after year. When she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord." And they went to their own home. Verse 21, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew up before the Lord. Now I picked out one important nugget here, and sort of hiding in between the lines. A mother's job is never done. Hannah, year after year, goes and brings a gift to her son. And I imagine as she's walking up to Shiloh, she sees her son grew. Oh my goodness, grew 6 inches that year. Can you imagine? Her heart starts thumping and seeing her son, the son that she gave back to the Lord. But she brings gifts year after year. I want to encourage you moms. Your children, especially the ones that are out of school, maybe in college, maybe they're having difficulties with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah, mom's job is never done, is it? Yeah, I see some of the older ladies saying, nope, it's never done. Hang in there. Be a Hannah. Hannah was an honorable woman. She had lots to offer us. But the nugget that I would like to leave with you today is found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, in closing. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in Him. Moms, did you hear that? Those who have turned their lives over to the Lord, walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up on Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And overflowing with gratitude. Amen. Our benediction is from Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Words of Jesus, an admonition to how we really ought to act. And it's for everybody. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Corrie ten Boom, I think, puts it nicely. For you moms who spend your energy on your kids year after year, a lot of times without being thanked, I want to encourage you with her words. Corrie ten Boom, hold everything in your hands lightly. Otherwise, it hurts when God pries your fingers open. And I was reading that as I was studying, going through my sermon last night, and the words that came to my mind were, let go, let God. Let go, let God. Not biblical words, just Pastor Bruce's. Have a great week.